Now I'll ask Pastor Shannon Payne to come and share the message with us. And we pray that, Lord, that your Spirit would move among us, that you would plant the seeds that she has to share with us, that you have shared with her in our hearts, in our spirits, and in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, I have notes and a phone. Anybody belong to a phone up here? Or notes? thank you, Wendell. It's all good. You know what I love most? Am I on back there? Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. I love this church family because we're casual enough. We don't get too crazy when somebody gets a little thrown off or I don't know if poor Wendell noticed, but you didn't. I kind of had to motion to Wendell. He's a horse that doesn't want to be fettered. And to come back to center because of the camera. And unfortunately, I agree with him. Sometimes having to remain focused on the camera and being someplace kind of ties you down a little bit. But you know what? We also want to be available for those who can't be here this morning. And so again, we welcome all of you who are here online. I have my stack of Kleenex, not because I plan on crying, but it has been a week, and I'm going to say this. I am still healing in the name of Jesus. And so if I don't shake your hand or get close, I don't want to share this with anybody. Just saying. But here's what I do stand on. The weapons formed against me shall not. That's right. And we know we have an enemy that wants to take us down. Probably about Wednesday, Thursday, I was thinking, caught a hold of, I don't know, I think I might have to call somebody to take the pulpit again. Oh, there I am. Hello. Okay. Hey. I thought I had plugged ears. No. But you know what? Again, just not feeling great. I don't deny that I have been sick, but I'm also not going to stand in the debate. I loved what Jim Anderson said. He said, let's not settle. Let's not settle. Oh, I have a cold. I guess I have a cold. I've always said I usually have a cold. It's 3 days coming, 3 days with you, 3 days going. And all of a sudden I said, why are you agreeing with that? Yep. Why are you agreeing with that? Amen. And so I had to, you know, take every thought captive, make it obedient to Jesus. I'm not denying I'm being with a cold, but I am also not denying the promises and the word of God, which is where we are this morning, speaking about the promises of God. Before I do that, I have a little joke for you. Uh-oh. A pastor, of course, finds a Polestar lawnmower at a yard sale and he buys it. Getting back home, he pulls and he pulls on the start rope to find no results. So he storms back to the yard sale and tells the previous owner, I cannot get that mower you sold me started. The previous owner replied, well, that's because you have to curse to get it started. Surprised, the pastor said, I'm a man of the cloth. I don't even remember how to curse. Well, said the man, you keep pulling that rope and it'll all come back to you. And don't we find ourselves in circumstances sometimes where that's what we feel like we're doing? We're pulling and pulling on the rope. And I'm going to be honest, I can't say I'm like that man of the cloth who has forgotten how to curse. There are days. But the power of the words that we speak, do you want to speak curse or do you want to speak blessing? And so even, like I said, even though the circumstances this past week for myself, and I'm sitting there, and that was another thing, it's just like, Lord, the enemy does not want me to share this message. Now, I'm not going to say the words that I speak are anything great, but the words that the Lord speak are. We sang this morning in the name of Jesus, the power of the blood, the power of the name of Jesus, the things that we read in Scripture and in the Gospels. When we're singing Amazing Grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch from me. I once was lost, but now, hello? Well, are you found? Can you declare that and decree that this morning? Can you speak that? I'm found. I was, past tense, blind, but now, and who do I see? How do I see? I see the Word of God. I see the Word manifest in Jesus. I see the living Word in Jesus Christ walking and talking amongst us. I see the risen Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. All powers and principalities on us. I see with my spirit and with my heart. I don't get the opportunity to sit in the Sunday morning live because I feel it's important for me to pray while Sunday morning live's going on and pray for the service to come. But I loved what Don shared this morning, what Crystal shared. We are now the temples. We are under a new covenant. The Holy of Holies dwells in us, and the holiest of all dwells within us. The power of the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And we confess that. We say the same thing as God. At least I hope we're doing that, because if we're not, you're missing out. And so this morning, I want to start by talking a scripture we all know, or maybe you don't, but we're going to put it up there. I think I'm pressing the right button. Hello? We've been having, there we go. It's just a little slow. We're going to talk about the scripture that says yes and amen. Anybody know where we can find that? I'm not going to say Crystal, because she knows everything. Anybody? I'm just teasing her. I love the people with gifts of teaching and who hold the scripture so well in their hearts and their minds. Anybody know where that's found? The yes and the amen.
Peter.
Nope. Good. Nope. Close.
Second Corinthians.
So there we go. Second Corinthians. Well, let's go there. For no matter how many promises of God, promises God has made, they are what?
Yes.
Where?
Yes.
Let's stop there. How many promises are there? Couple of dozen. Does anybody think that? Couple of dozen, that'd be about 24. The whole book. There is. There are promises from Genesis to Revelation. Promises of God. And it says, no matter how many promises God has made, what are they to you in Christ? They are yes. They are yes. They're happening. They are yes. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. How many of you love giving glory to God? How many prefer to give glory to yourself? You know what? There's a lot of people who do. And there's a lot of Christians who do. Now, I'm not saying that to much, but I mean, sometimes we're looking for the glory. Sometimes I have been, and I confess that. It's the Lord, forgive me. I want to be known as a good pastor. It's like, it doesn't matter whether I'm good or not. He's great. He's the one. If there's anything good in me, it's because of him.
Amen.
And so we speak the promises of God. And we speak out. As we speak out the promises of God, you know what happens? When you're speaking the promises of God, it says right there at the end, we bring glory to God. God gets the glory. When we speak his word in faith, declaring what he's done, God gets the glory. Now, let's give you a little context to this scripture here. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, not to the second Corinthians. This is the second book to the Corinthians. And he's defending himself a little bit before here, because he's made a statement to the Corinthians. Listen, I'm going off to Macedonia. I'm going to come and I'm going to visit you on my way. And then on my way back, I'm going to visit you again. So that was what his intentions were. But things changed. Wasn't able to happen the way he wanted to do. And so there's this situation happening over there where there's always those that get in there and meddle, saying, see, Paul really doesn't love you. See, the word isn't really truth because He's not faithful to the to what he said. And Paul has to kind of set things straight because it's getting a little mucky over there. And he's kind of, look, guys, excuse me while I'm going to cough into my... I'm back. Thank you, Rebecca. She's on the ball. And he says this because I was confident in this. He says, I was confident I was going to come. He said it that. I wanted to visit you first. And then he goes on to explain a little more. He says, but he's talking about his own integrity right now. He says, was I fickle when I intended on doing this? Like, are you guys thinking, you know me, am I a fickle person? Or do I make plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? Again, he's speaking of his own integrity, but he's also talking about the world's integrity or lack thereof. Their integrity, well, this real, truthfully, worldly integrity is not integrity at all because it's yes and no. It's kind of like, well, maybe. I think so, but you never know. I don't know, whatever. And Paul is just challenging him, challenging the Corinthians and us of his own integrity. Who do you know who has integrity? Who isn't yes and no? And he's saying, whether he comes or not, he's, and then it goes on in verse 18, he says, and I think I have that up here for you, but as surely as God is faithful. So he takes this and he says, don't even worry about my integrity. Who's faithful? God. But as surely as God is faithful. I want to ask you this morning for just a minute. Do you judge God faithful? In every circumstance and situation, do you judge him faithful? And I'm going to challenge you, and we're going to say yes. And I hope you're saying yeah, not yes or no or maybe. But there are, and there may be times where we judge him unfaithful. Where we're, I'm sorry, I'm doing exactly what I told Wendell not to do. I said, we need to be fettered. Or actually, we need a camera that, it does move, it's just a little slower and it's a little harder on the camera. I'll try and stay centered. Good, okay. Okay, we need to put tape on the ground so we know where our pen is. That's right. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Sorry, I'm going to do the cough thing again. All righty here. So the world we know, I've come a little further ahead of that. We're talking about our judging the Lord as faithful. And we get in circumstances sometimes where we doubt him. When we get in really hard, emotional, hurtful situations, we go, where were you, God? And I want to say, don't bash yourself or beat yourself up. Because it says, take that moment. Scripture tells us to take that moment. Take it captive. Take those thoughts, which are seeds planted by the enemy, if I can put that, the lies, and make it obedient to the word. Make it obedient to Jesus. In other words, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Even in the hard, heartbreaking, sad, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm here to comfort you. I'm here. In this world, you're going to have trouble. In this world, you're going to have tragedy. Not everybody knows, but Joel, if I can share, his grandson was in a horrific accident last week. He's in hospital in a coma. We've been praying for him for all week. And I'm going to just take a little side note now. One of the things I got was a text from Scott and said, do we have a prayer chain? And we kind of do and we kind of don't. And what I'm going to ask is if you have a cell phone and a cell phone number, and I'm not, if you would make sure to just let me know that you'd be happy to be on a group text list where we could send that information out. Or what I'd like to do is divide it into a couple of, or three different people who I can send it, and then they can go from there, if I can put it that way. Emails don't always work, because some people don't look at their email for days, weeks, or even months. So I'd like to do the text thing, if that's okay. So now that I've got that thought off my mind, we live in a world that Jesus said, listen, this is a fallen world. This is a place where trouble and tragedy happens. And we sometimes judge God in sitting in the why. We sit in the why. Job was one of those people who sat in the why. And do you know that God never really answered the why to Job? But he did say to Job, trust me, have faith in me. And Job went to being someone who knew God to being someone who was a friend of God. In the why, take it to him and say, I don't understand. For me, it's like, I would say, the idea of rocket science. You know, how they build a rocket. People know how to do that. I don't. And you'd have to start right down at them, the mathematics of adding and subtracting for me to, and work me all the way up to understand why. But if I have to wait till I understand why to get the blessings of God, some of them I'm going to have to wait a long time because it's beyond my understanding. But I'm going to trust God, his faithfulness, and what his promises say, because all of them are what to us?
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen. Let's continue on here with Paul in 2 Corinthians. It says, our message to you is not yes and no. The message of Jesus is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among us by me and Silas and Timothy and Shannon and Crystal and Ted and Wendell and was not yes and no. But in him has always been. You got it. Yes. It wasn't yes and no, but in him. Who are the ones that are in Christ? The ones who receive the promises. Believers. But not just that. Believers are the ones who follow Jesus. They're his disciples. How many of you have known to be yourself or maybe others who are Christians on Sunday, but not, you know what I mean, don't walk it out the rest of the week? Not that they don't know Jesus and not that they're in Christ, but if you're not walking it out the rest of the week, you're not going to see the promises of God. It's those who follow him, those who repent from our sins, those of us who believe in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for those sins. We are the ones who are putting our trust and our faith in Jesus and his resurrection and his ascension. And we're the ones who follow Jesus, walking with him and denying ourselves. We're the ones who pick up our cross daily and follow him. What does it mean to pick up your cross? Well, sometimes it means the self have to be laid down. But Lord, I'd really want this. And he says, just lay it down and follow me and see what he will do on our behalf. See what he has done on our behalf. These ones who follow Jesus, we are the ones that are in Christ, his people, the believers. And as we do this, we see, we receive the promises of God. For no matter how many promises God has made, there are yes to those in Christ. Okay. Challenge to you right now. You don't have to put up your hand, but you can if you want to. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? And this morning, I don't know everybody's hearts here, but there is a point in time where we may know a lot about Jesus, or we may know something about Jesus, but where Jesus says, will you give me your heart? And will you give me your life? A surrendering to him. You know, we run the CR program here on Thursday nights. And one of the areas we were looking at is powerlessness. In the worldly way we walk in this world, we're powerless. Powerless to change anything. And it's when we lay down our lives and we give our lives over to the Creator of all things, the God of the Creator, to Jesus our Savior, who said all of the yucky, crappy stuff, sorry if you don't like that word, of our past, he took it to the cross. He says, you don't have to pay for it anymore. I've already done it. I love you. And as we take that opportunity to lay our lives to hear, to say, Jesus, I want what you have died to give me. I'm going to lay that down. We may not have complete understanding of everything that's going on or everything that that means, but just that moment, in that moment we take that time to surrender it all to him, he comes in to our hearts and we are placed, we are baptized into him and we become in Christ. Do I understand all of that? Not with my, well, I understand more than I did the day I first believed. And that's the journey. That's the walking with him, the walking out, being discipled, hearing his word, accepting what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. So no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes to me who is now in Christ. How many of you said you were in Christ? Yes. Amen. What are the promises for you? Yes. Are they yes and no? Are they maybe? Are they settling? It is yes. They are yes for us. And then we move on. It says, and so through him, through who? Jesus. In Jesus, through him, the amen, or the so be it, or the that's right, is spoken by us to the glory of God. When we hear the promises of God spoken, when a believer stands up and shares with you, or in Bible study, or even just at a coffee, or just texts you, you know, here's a promise of God for you this morning. You know what we should say? Amen. That's right. So be it. And who gets the glory? Jesus. Yes. Yeah. God, Jesus. Our wonderful God. Yes. Anybody know a promise of God? If you have a promise in mind, put up your hand and I'm going to call out your name. Don. He'll never forget us.
Healed and whole.
Healed and whole.
Never, ever, ever alone again.
Never alone again. Lorinda. My peace I leave with you. He knows you by name. Anybody else?
He remembers my sins no more.
Come on, there's got to be a few more out there. Hey, believe in the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be
saved.
And?
Your household.
And to that we add our?
Amen.
Amen. So be it. That's right. Yeah. Come on. Well, if you don't know how to find a promise of God, how many of you have an iPhone or no, cell phone? computer, tablet of any kind, and maybe know how to connect to the internet. I think there's very few here that don't know how to do that now. All you do is type in promises of God. And I'll tell you, you'll get list after list after list. And when we start declaring and decreeing and speaking, you know, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Guess what happens? We glorify who?
Jesus.
We add to that every promise, our so be it, our that's right, our amen. And it glorifies God because we're standing on faith in his word. But you know what? There's something else that happens. Not only do we glorify God, but when we start speaking out the words, the promises of God, you start releasing faith. You start speaking out and you grow in your faith. We're going to start here. So we're in Christ. We are in a new covenant. We are in a new way of thinking. And we are in a new way of speaking. I'm going to cough again, Rebecca. Okay, thank you. I'm getting excited here. Getting the tickles. Okay. I'm just going to end it. That scripture, sorry. Now in God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ, he anointed us. He set a seal of ownership on us. How many of you are glad you're sealed with the Holy Spirit? By putting his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You know, sometimes we think that's all about heaven. Guaranteeing what is to come. That's not. It's here and now. All the promises are
yes.
To which we add our here and now. It's a guarantee by Holy Spirit that that is for us. Amen?
That's right.
Let's move on. Sorry. There's the scriptures for those of you taking it down. And here's from Romans. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. Okay, listen to this. For Moses writes about a righteousness which is from the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. But righteousness of faith speaks in this way. And we're going to just jump ahead a little bit. The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be. Yeah, what a promise. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Paul here is talking about the power of speaking, the new covenant. You see, what they had to do in the Old Testament was work for their salvation. Work for their righteousness, I should say. Again, they never could, and it was what Paul calls a teacher or a trainer to bring us to a place of understanding. We really are powerless in our own strength. But in the grace and the goodness of God, through the finished work of Jesus, it is done. And we speak that out. So we're in a new kingdom, we're under a new covenant, we have a new language, and it's the language of grace. And in this passage, you see the difference between the old and the new covenant. Christ is the end of the law, or I'm going to say it this way, the fulfillment. He completed, he's the one. And in the new covenant, there is the new beginning. I'm going to give you some homework or a little challenge. I encourage you to go to Romans 10, verses 4 through 10, and read it in the Amplified. And again, if you don't have the book sitting on the shelf, you can go online and find it. And just read it. It's very clear of what is the difference between the Old Testament covenant and the new one we now have in Jesus. I want us to notice in this scripture, though, that our mouths speak out the righteousness, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. The word is near you, and the word is in your mouth and in your heart. Who is the word?
Jesus.
Jesus. How does he speak through us? How does he do this? Through the power of Holy Spirit. And so because of that, it's with our mouth we can confess. It's with our mouth we say the same thing as God, and we believe it in our hearts. It's kind of a circular thing, if I put it this way. We see the word of God, we confess the word of God, we hear the word of God, we establish it in our hearts, and we speak out. Jesus said, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. And so we want to establish our hearts in the promises of God, in the truth of God, and in the word of God. You know what? One of the things when we look at the Old Testament was about doing right, doing things well. And the New Testament is speaking about God's promises, speaking well, speaking right, the new language that we have. How many of you ever caught yourself speaking the old language? You know, when immigrants moved to a new country, one of the things a lot of them tried to do was to adapt to the new language in the new country there. They moved to become a part of the new country, the new area. You're part of a new country, a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. And so I encourage you to speak the language of the new kingdom. Don't fall back into speaking the lawnmower. Speaking like the world. We're going to speak the promises of God, the good things of God. You know, every Sunday for the past year, we started something. Oops. We started something new. And that was, we declare together every Sunday. We stand up and together, as brothers and sisters, speak out the truth of God, the word of God, declaring and decreeing not only to one another, but into the world what we know our Heavenly Father has spoken. We take it from Scripture. We're going to keep doing that this year, but I think what I'm going to do, that was suggested to me last year, is rather than do a different one every week, I think we'll do the same one for every couple of weeks. So we hear it and we start memorizing it, because sometimes we can get overwhelmed by them.